Welcome to yet another edition of Hit the Target podcast, proudly brought to you by Hollywood Bets. I'm your host, Jesse Nagel, here to discuss all things English Premier League. And yes, fun times ahead, of course, if you're an Arsenal supporter like me. 5 wins out of 5. And with the big game against Manchester United upcoming this weekend, where the Gunners look to make it 6 on the trot. With me in studio this week is the ever-present, the usual suspects, Don, Mr. Valuvia, and Chad Nagel. Gentlemen,
good to be here.
Yeah, great to be here. Obviously, 5-star performance from Arsenal. And then Chad and my team, obviously, just battling along and bouncing where we can.
Yeah, Chad, let's start with one of your teams. We'll start with Liverpool. It's obviously their big derby this weekend, the Merseyside derby. They travel to Goodison Park. Short trip, but it's going to be a fiery one.
Yeah, usually a one-sided derby. Everton, obviously, there's a lot of heat on Frank Lampard. Mm. But at the time of recording, it looks like that they are going to keep Anthony Gordon, which is a great talent. He's key for them. He's scored. He's found the net twice for them, yeah. In back-to-back games. So he's crucial for them. But at the same time, Liverpool, they also getting their business done. Could see Arthur Melo coming to the side this weekend if the deal happens. Obviously, at the time of recording, it looks like it's on course to happen. I think midfield is an area that Liverpool have been struggling lately. But
no, that's FC.
But well, they have got the marshmallow.
It's an area midfield where they have been struggling, but they are
only
they,
because they of nine injuries.
Nine.
I expected to see off Everton though, and I backed them at 4-10.
Nine injuries, nine nil.
It's the Saturday early kickoff, and you know my thoughts and my feelings on the early kickoff on a Saturday. It's a slippery banana skin, but Liverpool at 4-10. It's a derby. You know, the derby games are always the ones you fear the most. So yeah, just be careful of it. I wouldn't add it to all multiples, but as a Liverpool fan, we'll just hope that we can score within the 90 minutes.
Perhaps Salah as an anytime goal scorer. He did get the Puskas Award a couple of years ago against Everton. Wasn't the best goal in the world, but of course the world seemed to have thought so.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at it,
he's been on a bit of a drought.
But if you look at droughts, I think he's been asleep. But he's got the two assists. He's been instrumental for the team. And yes, he might not be scoring. I know Donna Nunez comes back into the fold. Whether he starts on is debatable.
Yeah, Firmino's been good.
I think Firmino's been excellent for me. But yeah, so Pickford is the game. We all know exactly what happened 2 seasons ago with the Pickford Van Dijk injury. So this is a game that I'm very wary about it. And obviously, if Everton are able to keep Anthony Gordon, for me, that's going to be key.
Yeah, Don says Liverpool victory, Chad.
Yeah, Liverpool win.
Just a quick one before we move on to the next couple of 4 o'clock kickoffs. Donovan touched on Van Dijk and that injury in this fixture. There was question on speculation or rather question marks around whether he'd be the same Van Dijk when he returned. I think he hasn't been.
Yeah, he just seems crazy to say, but he just looks a bit nervous. Mm. He looks a bit scared at times to go in, and he backs off from challenges that you'd normally expect him to go in and win.
But that's because he's not playing with his proper partner.
He's got Joe Gomez there. He's got years of experience.
Is Joe Gomez his real partner, or I doubt it, because you've seen what Matip brings to the table.
Van Dijk has been the same Van Dijk of old, or?
I think he has been there. He still is a charismatic force within the team. I think he's still a leader of sorts. So I wouldn't say he's not the same Van Dijk. I think, yes, with the 9 injuries that I speak of, Matip is one of them. Konate is another one of them, which are notably the two centre pairings.
You make it seem like he's playing next to Phillips. You make it seem like he's playing next to Phillips, though.
Well,
Joe Gomez and Van Dijk have years of experience.
Yeah, but Joe Gomez has also come off a long injury.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so he hasn't had expressed.
I can understand like looking out of place when you're not playing with your preferred centre back partner, but at the same time, can the in his space? Let's talk about his space. Has he commanded everything that has come his way?
Or has he just put his hands behind his back way? And just stood there?
I can't say.
Two games ago now. But we'll continue that conversation in the next game. I mean, that I'm very, very interested to find out what happens in the next game.
Yeah, there's a couple of 4 o'clock kickoffs to look forward to. We'll start off with Brentford against Leeds. Brentford, of course, one of those teams in the Premier League who just seem to never give up. A full value for their draw in midweek against Crystal Palace, Chad. Leeds as well, a team who are now all about fighting until the very end. Your thoughts on this fixture?
Well, I think this game is a game where we can sit back and just be entertained. Mm-hmm. I think two teams that have started the season quite brightly, two teams that thrive on attacking football, I think we can see some end-to-end action. And I think both teams to score in this game is the play.
It seems like a certainty.
Yeah, it is a safe bet, but I'm going for a little bit of extra value. I've gone to Brentford at 12-10. I think that's for me is the play. I think when they play at the community stadium, they're just a different type of animal. And having that.
I think it's renamed to the G-Tech Stadium now or something like
that. Yeah. So, having them playing against Crystal Palace and never giving up 88 minutes or 89 minutes scoring a cracker. I think Brentford would be able to. So I definitely see goals in this game. Brentford and both teams to score is a play as well.
Yeah, another derby to look forward to. Of course, we've touched on Merseyside derby, but now we see Chelsea in action against West Ham, who also could have had a better start to the season, Chad.
Yeah, both teams have not gotten off to the starts that both the managers would have liked, but two quality teams at the end of the day. Chelsea, obviously, they've lacked a bit of bite up front. They look blunt in attack. Good performances at times good individual performances from players like that we know are quality players like Raheem Sterling, Kai Havertz, Mason Mount, but it just isn't clicking. Chelsea need a centre forward, a deadly striker. It looks like they're going to get Aubameyang, but he can't play this game. He's out for a couple of weeks. So Chelsea are going to have to come up with a plan to be more creative. And I think West Ham, defensively, they haven't looked solid, and they've given opportunities away like so easy. So I think Chelsea, I think there's a good opportunity to get a couple of goals for them, and I think they will be more solid defensively with Wesley Fofana. Reece James, I think he's expected to be back. I think he was ill. That's why he missed out. I think he should be fine. And I think it's not just having Reece James back, but having Reece James back at right wing back.
With Fofana
dropping in the back three. So I think Chelsea will be more solid defensively. Reece James on the flank, bombing forward. We'll look more creative. And I think we can, it won't be easy because it's a London derby. West Ham tends to raise their game against Chelsea. But yeah, I think Chelsea can just about edge a tight affair. Yeah.
Don, before I get your thoughts on this fixture, I know the timing of this podcast and when we're recording is a bit challenging because, of course, it's for those listening out there, we do record on Thursday, and it's deadline day, of course, and so much could happen in this next couple of hours. So by the time our listeners get to hear this, we could be a bit behind. But it does seem at the time of recording that Chelsea will sign Aubameyang. It seems almost 98% done now. We've seen him in the Premier League, of course, very successful with Arsenal in terms of his personal career. But once he signed that fat contract and signed that big money deal, his performance is sort of dipped. Is that the answer Chelsea are looking for right now? A player like Aubameyang?
Oh, I don't know, because Chelsea for me are becoming, well, I've always said that the candy shop. I mean, they've bought eight defenders. They've bought eight defenders in this window. Well,
eight defenders. Well, name them.
You've bought at the moment, you've spent 118 million US dollars on defense.
Okay.
Let me finish. You'll sold you'll sold Timo Werner because he wasn't winning. He wasn't scoring. In wherever he's gone to, he's got 4 goals and 4 assists. Kai Havertz has got 0 goals, 0 assists. Raheem Sterling was supposed to be the player that was supposed to come through, and he will deliver.
He still looks sharp. Yeah.
He still looks sharp.
But for me,
I think that there's something bigger in the Chelsea camp with regards to there's something amiss.
So does Aubameyang solve that?
I don't think Aubameyang solves that. I don't think Aubameyang solves it.
Is it a creativity problem?
I think it is a creativity problem. I think someone is going to be, needs to step up. For me, it comes down to the Mason Mount. Mm. I think when Mason Mount clicks and where he plays, he then is able to open and unlock a lot of doors. If Mason Mount clicks, he will unlock a lot of doors for Raheem Sterling to score a lot of goals. I've always said that Chelsea play an expansive brand of football, similar to what Liverpool play, a high energy, high octane type of football, but having so many choices in their, at their disposal, for me, that's, I think could be the problem where Tuchel doesn't know his best team.
Well, I think that's a good, you ask any manager in world football.
He's got the best problem.
Do you want more quality? You look at Arsenal. To change the subject here, but look at Arsenal. Arteta is building something. He's building a strong squad, not just a top 11, because last season they had a good 11. But probably what let them down of missing, why they missed out on top four is because the squad wasn't big and with enough quality. There was just good 11 players, or maybe 13 or something. But like now, I think it's good that Chelsea have added so much quality. I think you look at Chelsea in personnel and you have to say, despite how they've started the season in personnel, they've improved. They're better. Kukureya's an upgrade on Marcus Alonso. You've got, Koulibaly arguably better than, Rudiger. And you've got, Fofana, who's coming. Sterling is upgrade. Aubameyang's an upgrade on Lukaku. So it's just about finding, it's just about clicking together. And I think that once the transfer window closes, thank God it closes today, it's just all of that unsettledness can just fade away and we can focus on the team that's actually there.
Difference of -2 for Chelsea, for a team of Chelsea.
So suppose it's that Leeds fixture.
Shouldn't be a concern.
So I do get what you're saying, Don.
Especially if Arsenal are hitting the straps and are going 5-on-5.
So what you're saying is, and what I'm understanding is, and I think it makes perfect sense, is that Chelsea's problem is that they've got so much quality, and yes, it seems like a good problem, but when you've got Ziyech on the bench, who was a Ballon d'Or nominee a couple of years ago, Pulisic was the star man at Dortmund, all these players on the bench were stars where they come from. And I think the difference with Arsenal is that those players on the bench are quite fine with being on the
100%.
Bench. And Chelsea have 16 brilliant players who could be starting for most clubs in the Premier League.
And that's where the problem comes. You won't
get the best out of...
Because if a player starts sitting on the bench of that quality...
Yeah.
When
Aubameyang comes, probably Kai Havertz from that front because Mason Mount is undroppable. Then, you know, it's...
He's been the first one off at halftime. So no one's undroppable, but Raheem Sterling in attack because you have to perform. Right now, no one's performing but Sterling. Yes, he's not even been outstanding, but he's the only one undroppable.
Three goals is not a bad return.
Yeah.
Don, your thoughts on this fixture? I didn't get your prediction.
I'm actually going for the draw.
Straight draw. Newcastle against Crystal Palace. Newcastle. Don, you saw them quite recently. They gave the biggest scare of all against Liverpool. And then, of course, getting that credible draw a couple of days ago as well to Manchester City.
But for me, Newcastle's fitness comes into play.
Done so much in the past couple of days.
They've been through a ringer of fixtures. I've been a big fan of Eddie Howe and what he's been doing. Saint Maximum is a big miss for them. Defensively, they've also got a couple of injuries on that side. I'm not making excuses for Newcastle. I love what they're doing.
Injuries are only an excuse for Liverpool. So it's fine.
So they've got cramps. let me put it that way. They've got a lot of cramps, on their side. But if you look at the Crystal Palace side, that's also doing some fantastic work. Patrick Vieira, he's molded a team. Yes, they've lost Conor Gallagher back to the parent club, but they've they're playing a fantastic brand of football as well. Mm-hmm. So for me, I think it'll be entertaining. I think there's going to be a lot of goals in this game. I just hope that Nick Pope can obviously muster up the full 90 minutes and play.
I'd make this a banker, Chad. I'd consider it one of my best bets of the weekend, being Newcastle.
Well, I when you look at Newcastle, I can understand that, and I rate them highly. Rate Eddie Howe. I just rate the team, just the way they
top
play.
Top half team this season.
Very good. They can challenge for they could be out dark horses for a top six finish.
And then new striker of theirs, unbelievable.
Alexander Isak has announced himself in the Premier League, but you know, I just think Crystal Palace for me are such a good team as well. You can never write them off, whether it's home, whether they're away. Yeah. They've got such a good team. They go under the radar at times, but they are a quality team that always fight. So I think the best bet here for me is Alexander Isak. He's announced himself. I think an anytime scorer is probably a safer bet than having the Newcastle win, just because you never know what Palace are capable of.
Well, it's hard to disagree with that. I mean, he announced himself at Anfield and then in front of this home crowd, home debut. It does make perfect sense. Nottingham Forest against Bournemouth, Don?
Yeah, I feel sorry for...
Championship fixture, of course, last season. Yeah,
and probably championship fixture next season. I feel sorry for these two teams. They've also been through the ringer. You know, baptism of fire for Forest, baptism of fire for Notts. So, how do you pick yourself up from a 9-0 and a 6-0? You know, so... Looking at these two teams, I don't know. I think they'll know each other, obviously, from the championship. Yes, Forest has spent more money.
And signed like 20 players or 30 players or 40.
And that's never a good recipe to stay up. You know, signing up the 20 players to try and boost your squad. So I think it'll probably be an entertaining championship fixture to watch. 1-1 draw for me.
I'm backing Nottingham Forest. I think they will win. I think they are going to win a couple of games before they probably go to the championship, back to the championship. And these are the type of games they're going to win against Bournemouth at home. Bournemouth obviously will still be be feeling low from that heavy 9-0 defeat. So, you know, it's demoralizing to lose in the manner in which they did.
Forget about the opponents.
Forget about
Don't worry about the opponent. I think what Bournemouth did in the aftermath was incorrect and was crazy and rude.
No, but it's also losing your head coach as well, where it could drop your...
I think it was a bit harsh. I think the 9-0 defeat had a lot to do with that. I would imagine Scott Parker going to the board and saying, look, and probably being frustrated, rightfully so, after that defeat, and probably saying, look, I need some money. The players aren't good enough. If you want to remain in the top flight, give me some cash to spend. And you probably didn't get the right answer. And
if you look at Bournemouth's four fixtures, they played Villa, they played Arsenal, who's playing a brand of football that we all, Jesse has made no bones about how great Arsenal are. They've played City and they played Liverpool. Scott Parker really should have looked at it.
Fixtures.
And the board should have looked at it and said, you've just come up into the championship. You are playing three of the four teams. They beat Villa. So Bournemouth beat Villa in the opening day, got the 3 points. And then the next three fixtures were, for me, arguably the three toughest fixtures in the league. So I tend to feel for Scott Parker because I don't think, yes, take away that it shouldn't have been a 9-0. You know, but for
that
me,
shouldn't happen to any Premier League.
It shouldn't happen so early for me to any Premier League. And it's just guttering that
it wasn't even Southampton this time.
Yeah.
I think to add to Chad's point is that obviously Scott Parker probably went to the board and said, I want X amount of players and I need to spend this amount of players if we need to compete in this league. You look at the other teams that have come up. Fulham have strengthened their squad. Nottingham Forest, we're just talking about them now. Their opponents this weekend, they've signed 20 players. The window's not closed at the time of recording. So it could easily go to 35 players. But, you know, I definitely feel for Bournemouth. But at the same time, now is probably the best time to play it. So, Chad, I have to agree with you. Yeah, Nottingham Forest. Yeah. Just too good for them on the day, I feel.
21-20 also.
Decent. Yeah. Chad, Fulham against Spurs. Two of the, okay, I can't say hottest strikers in the league because we've got Haaland, but Harry Kane and Mitrovic have started brightly and both in great goal scoring form.
And it's the second London derby. It promises to be a fantastic Saturday where we can just be entertained by great games, great matchups like this. Tottenham, obviously, favourites, expected to win. There's a lot of still talk about them, about possibly challenging for perhaps top spots. That's how they see it in England. They're confident of staking a claim for the title. So they'll be expected to win these games against promoted sides, especially at home. But Fulham have been fantastic. They've punched above their weight. Alexander Mitrovic looks fantastic. He looks the best I've ever seen him.
You've always told me,
if you ever need a striker, and this was like years ago, if you ever need a striker, Mitrovic, big club needs to have a punt on him. I think he's very good, and I think he will trouble this Spurs' back line. He's a bully. He's strong, almost Diego Costa-like, but with obviously a good temperament as well.
Yeah, well, that will show later on in the season.
But I think instead of backing Spurs 4-10, which is like you expected, and it's a bit too short for me, I think Spurs to win and both teams to score, or just both teams to score, is probably the best play.
Yeah, so for me, I've just gone under both teams to score. I think both strikers are on red hot form. Harry Kane scoring in August, that's a feat you don't really see. And we've just spoken about Mitrovic. For me, I think, there's going to be goals in this game. Unlike a Conte team and you think that Conte would just be closing up at the back. There is vulnerability in terms of, the Spurs defense. And I think that, there will be goals in this game.
Yeah, I think for more value, to answer your both team score, I'd back a match bet builder, same match bet builder, and just take both strikers, Mitrovic and Kane, to score. I think it could be one for the value chasers. Don, Wolves against Southampton?
Yeah, Wolves for me, if there was a player that I wanted from the Wolves team, would be Ruben Neves. I think that he would fit into Liverpool's midfield and be a jigsaw piece. I'm a big fan of him. And I think that, yes, Southampton, are trying to wake up, and have been sluggish this season thus far in five games. And I'm looking at the Wolves team, as the win. I'm going under, I think Wolves for me, you want to play it safe. You could go in a win draw double chance at 6-10.
It's probably a bit safe.
Yeah. But because you don't know where Southampton are at, but I'm just going to be a little bit more bullish, and I think Wolves for me clinch this one.
Southampton off the back of beating Chelsea, Chen.
You know, it's not even to say that, yes, Chelsea have been struggling, lately. Southampton were really good.
They fought for their win.
They were very good, very, very hard to play against. They made it incredibly difficult. Shea Adams was such a handful. He reminded me a bit like Troy Deeney, who's given us so many difficult times in the past. Shea Adams was very good. I think Southampton, I like Wolves, I like the double chance at 6-10. They've, like Don's just mentioned, they have a top player in Ruben Neves. They've also look like they're going to keep hold of Pedro Neto. Credit to them, because he's a top player, probably my favorite player outside of the big six teams in the Premier League. I think they've got a good coach as well, but it's just Southampton. They deserve respect going into this fixture, and I don't think we should just look at Wolves and think, certainty Wolves, we expect them to win. I think they command a lot of respect based on their recent performances, and we know Ralf Hasenhüttl's a top coach as well. So I think this is one to actually steer clear of, but if you do want to have a bet, I think Wolves on the win draw double chance 6-10 is probably it.
Yeah, this game's not going in any of my multiples. It's just too tricky. For me, Don, the last fixture on Saturday, where Erling Haaland chases a hat-trick of hat-tricks. It's Manchester City looking to possibly sack Steven Gerrard at Aston Villa.
I never like it when we talk about sacking managers.
No, you don't like it when we sack
Steven
this
Gerrard.
One.
Yeah. the very first podcast of game week one, you were like, the writing's on the wall for Lampard.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Yeah, but now it's...
So now, Having said that, and you're reminding me of that, I hope Liverpool beat Everton 9-0, so Lampard can get sacked before Steven Gerrard. But taking the mickey out. Haaland is unbelievable. I mean,
let's get him out of this league.
We need the big teams
but
to come out.
We called it, though. We said he was going to run away.
We did say that he's going to come
I remember
come
you got off the phone with me and I told you that he'll be.
He's got 9 goals before he has 100 touches in the Premier League.
He's just unbelievable. And having the feed from a team that is just feeding anybody. I mean, it's a striker's dream to just get the passing and the passes from you got players, Foden stepping up, you got Bernardo Silva stepping up, you got, you know, given the brain.
And did you say Bernardo? Yeah. Causing headaches.
It's just headaches upon headaches for Pep. Yes, come latter parts of the season, there will be times where we will start looking at it because I still think that the eye on the prize for Pep is in Europe. And I think that But the European teams need to fear of what he's been assembled at Man City. At 4-10, I think it's massive value for the straight win. You're never going to get a 4-10 away price. But having said that, Chad has been the guy that says that City will lose points, and he called that one right at or drop points, and he did call that one at Newcastle. And they have been shaky at the back in at certain times. They've conceded twice early, but they've got the mental capacity to come back and hurt you. Yeah. And that's what you're going to get with City all season. So for me, put the Provident Fund, as my friend Ryan Liberty would say, put the Provident Fund on Manchester City 4-10.
That's the thing with the Premier League. Last season, Chad, this was one of the toughest fixtures in the Premier League. Aston Villa beat a number of top teams at their home grounds at Villa Park. Now, it just seems like, we joke about it, but the writing could possibly be on the wall for Steven Gerrard.
Villa aren't in a good state. We've just touched on Steven Gerrard possibly losing his job. Also, at the time of recording, Douglas Luiz is unhappy. Looks like he wants to go to Arsenal. So that deal could happen. We don't know who they're going to bring in, if it does happen. So it's just, a lot of negativity surrounding Aston Villa. On the flip side, you've got Haaland scoring goals. Man City, you said they had defensive problems. They've just added a defender. Ikanji has come in from Dortmund. So, one team like down in shambles and one team on the rise. So, I think it's that easy to call. 4-10. How on earth are City 4-10?
Yeah, that's a gift this
weekend. I think Haaland, anytime goal scorer, should probably be like
2-10.
Yeah, like 2-10.
He was 3-10 in midweek against Nottingham Forest.
Yeah. And you know what? I actually think that it could be a hat trick of hat tricks. It's crazy to say that, but it looks like if ever there was a chance of that happening, the fixture's favorable. I mean, the guy's just not stopping, and he might even do it first half like last time. So I think City to win emphatically.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, just a double header on Sunday. Of course, it's the two teams who played on Thursday. Leicester and Manchester United. First up, Leicester play Brighton, and then Manchester United, of course, entertain Arsenal. But we'll touch on the Brighton and Leicester fixture up first, Chad. Brighton have been one of the best teams, of course, in that early top six spot. Leicester, not so much for them, but it does seem like, of course, again, this whole deadline day recording time is tricky with Tielemans because it seems like he's staying at the time of recording.
He does not want to stay, though.
So that's, you know, that's where we're at with the last couple of hours. So how do you feel about this fixture?
Well, I think just going into this game, I think Brendan Rodgers will be happy that the window is shut, regardless of the quality he's lost, and he's lost some quality. Their best defender in Wesley Fofana. We just mentioned now, we don't know what's going to happen with Tielemans at the time of recording. But either way, you'll be happy that the window's shut and he can work on the group that he has. I'm not sure it is a competitive group. I think they should have strengthened. I think they've done the least transfer business, which is disappointing for a team like Leicester because, you know, they won the title a couple of years ago.
When are we going to stop talking about that?
No, but there has been key outgoings. Like Chad mentioned Fofana and Tielemans was unhappy. But
I mentioned Schmeichel. You lost their captain a couple of weeks ago. And I've been saying for a while that there's something big amiss at.
And I'm sorry, but Ward is rubbish.
Yeah, dude, but so. There's something big amiss at Leicester City. Currently 20th on the log, and they're versing a high-flying Brighton team.
Well, they could, but again, that's at the time of recording because they play Man United on Thursday tonight.
Can't see that.
And then anything can happen against those guys.
No, you can't see that. But I'm saying to you,
I'm going to go Brighton, yeah.
Yeah, I'm also going Brighton. I'm going Brighton at 9-10. I think it
seems like a lot of confidence.
Brighton are defensively sound. Mm. Okay. And even though we keep saying week in and week out, Brighton are defensively sound, scoring and having lost two of their big players. Okay. Yeah. Whereas Leicester City are trying to keep their big names and are a shambles currently.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm all over Brighton.
Super Sunday, final match of the weekend, Manchester United against Arsenal. This used to be one of the biggest games in the league. For me, it's still one of the most looked forward to in the league. I don't know if I'm saying that.
Most eye-catching, yeah.
Most eye-catching for me. It's just a personal fixture I just love, whether it's home or away. Of late, it has been a favorable one, of course. Yeah. Last season didn't go according to plan.
I've noticed you always... confidence.
I'm always confident. And you know what the funny thing is? Man United fans are also always confident. And I think there's a perception about Arsenal and Man United is that we think the same of each other. And Arsenal, me being an Arsenal fan, is that I think very lowly of Man United. And I know Man United fans who have called me and said, I can't wait to play you guys this weekend. The streak ends and so on and so on. So there is that mutual, mutual whatever it is, understanding of each other. But, yeah, keen to hear what you guys think of it.
Well, the last time the two teams played each other, there were bets thrown about in the SBN office where jerseys were supposed to be worn, and things, people were supposed to obviously fulfill that, and that hasn't come to fruition yet,
sadly,
Mr. Ryan Liberty.
Eh? Sad.
It's terrible how people don't honor bets.
Having said that, I've got no respect. For Man United fans currently, purely based on what happened there. And I think the way Jesus is playing, Jesus anytime goal scorer for me is a bet. Yes, Man United are sound in terms of the defensive. They've got a new hound dog in Martinez.
That's what I want to talk about. So I'm glad you brought that up. But
there
was
talk. In big games is where the question mark is going to come in.
So there was talk on this very podcast that, you know, 3 games in or so, he hadn't shown signs of what he had shown in Eredivisie. And he was caught by the biggest strikers in the league. And there were question marks. But the past 2 games, before Leicester, Manchester United against Liverpool, Manchester United against Southampton, he has been incredible.
Yeah. And
I just want us to give him his flowers for that.
No, we are giving him his flowers. And I'm saying that he stepped up. Okay. Mm. The Casemiro effect for me is key. I think just change the mood is changing in the dressing room. They've signed, obviously they've got another Anthony,
Martial.
They've got another Anthony to the mix. I mean, they'll have 11 Anthonys playing one weekend, but yeah, Man United are on the up. Mm-hmm. But Arsenal are just playing a brand of football that if you look at all the games that were played over the weekend and midweek, the two teams that are head and shoulders currently above the rest is Man City and Arsenal. And having said that, you've got to give credit to Arteta and what he's done. Martinelli is just playing out of his boots. Saka starting to wake up, and that's a dangerous sign.
He has
sign.
Past 2 games.
Yul's new right back.
Ben White. He's not really new.
Saliba. Saliba. For me, he's the guy that could come out and say yes. You know, take over Andy Robertson's title as the best in the league.
Oh.
I'm saying that with greatest, yeah, Arsenal and a big win, yeah.
Look, before you just interrupt each other, I feel like they should be optimism from both fans. I've looked at Man United closely in the past couple of games, and I feel like there is some upward trajectory there, but in saying that, a bit of bias involved here, but Arsenal have looked the best they have been since the Invincibles. And this is a team that, you know, every game, Don, you mentioned the 2-1 in midweek. Every game they come off the pitch, I feel like that wasn't a 2-1 game. Then they beat Fulham, but that wasn't a 2-1 game. They are outclassing the opponents to an extreme level, a high-end level. It's just that, you know, when will we have a good game and not win? And that could be quite soon. In fact, it's so many times where Arsenal are riding just that scoreline luck. It's so many of the games we're playing are not, you know, don't really reflect that in the scoreline. So it is good times for Arsenal. I'm quite confident that we won't lose this fixture, but I feel like there's positive signs for both.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a great game. It's the one to wrap up the fixtures, and it's one that we can sit back and enjoy. And especially the neutrals, where if your team isn't involved, it's just a nice game to just watch. Mm-hmm. Both teams are looking good. United, obviously, one team has been like you mentioned, head and shoulders above the pack. Arsenal look invincible, and I'm not saying they're going to be invincible, no. But I'm saying they look invincible at the moment.
They're playing the part.
Yeah, it's hard to pick out weaknesses. It's hard to hate on them because they entertain you at the same time.
Yeah.
They are annoyingly good for rival fans. Like certainly me. Like I'm find myself watching because I'm not a fan of Arsenal. I find myself watching then I'm like, wow, that was like really entertaining. That was good to watch. If you love football, you love the way they're playing. Arteta deserves a massive credit.
Yes.
A couple months ago,
his
job was on the line.
He was 3 games from being bombed.
So credit to the, and I remember, being vocal about Arteta should be sacked at the time when it looked like, you know, results weren't going Arsenal's way. It didn't look like they would come. But credit to the board, they backed him. Credit to the fans for sticking with him. The only ones who had his back that time were the fans. Many were saying, you know what, just give it time. We trust in the process. There's a clear vision here to see.
Credit to Arsenal fans. They took a leaf out of Liverpool's book in backing the manager. I know there were three games in last season. They were at the bottom of the log.
Without a goal scored.
You know, Arteta came in, he let Aubameyang leave. He said, I'm going to strip you from your captaincy to Xhaka. He made bold decisions and the board backed him and gave him a contract extension.
Mm.
And he's delivered on those results. Yeah. So for me, a massive credit goes out to that. And their brand of football we want to play.
I do just have a question, more so for Chad, because it's more closer to Chelsea. But who would you be supporting in this fixture? Because obviously, I feel like Arsenal and Chelsea will be more closer in the league table. In fact, they were last season than Chelsea and Man United. And, you know, Arsenal being, well, quite 15 points already. Who would you be supporting and hoping drops points?
It's a good question.
In the long run.
It's a good question, but I do want to see Man United win. Just because.
No, that would make sense.
I know the danger of. I mean, remember. Think to the 2017-18 season, Antonio Conte, Chelsea at the time, before a ball was kicked, they weren't contenders for the title.
Mm.
But I know like when you're on such a winning streak and you look invincible, like I said, and when everything just looks everything's going your way and the confidence is just like increasing at each game and they look like they're getting better each game, which is crazy. I think we need that to stop.
They're still going to play City.
I'm not even saying they're title contenders, but I'm saying in order for them to.
And the earlier, the better.
I'm saying in order for them not to be title contenders, it needs to stop immediately. And I think Manchester United is the first real test for them. I think we have been probably too harsh on Manchester United at the beginning of the season. Yes, those results did warrant criticism, but I think we were probably too quick to judge them and probably too quick to judge Erik ten Hag. They're building something also. And they've got Casemiro. Anthony's a top player. Whether he's a good player, whether he's Premier League good, we'll wait and see. But I think Manchester United, not just because I'm hoping Manchester United do it, I think they will definitely avoid defeats. I think they either, I would back them on the win, draw, double chance in this game.
Don, you say Arsenal win.
No, I'm going to be, it's a big game. I'm probably going to go on the win, draw, double chance, but I'm going Arsenal. I think draw is a factor. And United probably will walk away if they draw 1-1. It'll be entertaining and United will think that they've won the game because of what if Ten Hag has done. I'd prefer 3-0 Arsenal win. Purely just because it'll make my week a little bit easier. So we'll just take it on that.
I think just on Arsenal, I think it will be interesting to see how they, I think this game is a, look, they, we might not think they're in a title race. There are some out there that do. And I think that
if they went comfortably at Old Trafford,
I think it's just, if a victory underlines their credentials, we'll get a closer indication as to where they are. But I also think that I'm more interested in seeing if when they do lose a game, and they will lose a game, Arsenal, in the Premier League this season, how do they respond from that? Is it an immediate response? Is it a response with, like, let's just leave it, let's just move on? Like, I'm more interested in that. But it's an entertaining game of football on Sunday, and I'm backing United on the win, draw, double chance.
Yeah, I feel like Arsenal, you know what, I'm just going to say Arsenal win this fixture. I was going to say win, draw, double chance, but I feel like there's so much uncertainty with Chad going win, draw, double chance, you sort of on the fence, Don. So I am going to go a bit more gutsy and say Arsenal win. I feel like now's the time to back them, and Man United are playing Thursday and Sunday. Arsenal have had that extra day and more time to recover. So the likes of Zinchenko will come back as well. So,
next week, will you say, now you're going to believe us?
If we win at Old Trafford, and it's very convincing, because I saw Liverpool and Manchester City go there and win convincingly, I would sort of edge closer to that belief. But right now, I think Arsenal are nailed on for a top four spot, but not the league.
Well done.
Gentlemen, any best bets or best bets in particular in this round of matches to look forward to that we can just give our listeners some confidence to just empty their pockets?
Really from the Premier League, but I do have a weekend soccer treble. Osasuna, Sundowns and Pirates 5-2-1. So put 100 rand down and you get 600 back.
Across the globe bet. Don? No, I'm gonna stick in the Prem.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the Prem. I'm going to go for the Spurs. Spurs Fulham game, Spurs and both teams to score, and then obviously looking at the Wolves game and Wolves on the win.
Nice. Until next week then.
Cheers.
Cheers.